Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for Catholic News. My name is Chris Mihalik. The source of our program is DenverCatholic.org. Who is Pope Leo XIV? A bio of the first American Pope by Jonah McCown, CNA. Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost was elected Pope Leo XIV on Thursday, May 8th, the first pope from the United States. Smiling and waving while wearing more traditional papal garb than his predecessor and appearing to hold back tears at certain points, Leo blessed the cheering masses assembled in St. Peter's Square, proclaiming in confident Italian, "Peace be with you all." An Augustinian and a canon lawyer, Prevost spent over a decade ministering in South America before being called back to the U.S. to head the Augustinian province of Chicago, and was later elected prior general of the Augustinian order, serving in that role for a dozen years. He later returned to South America after Pope Francis in 2014 appointed him bishop in Chiclayo, Peru. Francis later called him to Rome in 2023 to head the highly influential dicastery for bishops. Prevost, 69, was born on September 14, 1955, in Chicago. He is of Italian, French, and Spanish descent. He studied at an Augustinian minor seminary in Chicago and later earned a Bachelor of Science degree in mathematics from Villanova University in Pennsylvania. He officially entered the Order of St. Augustine in 1978, making his solemn vows in 1981. He was later ordained to the priesthood in June 1982 after studying theology at the Catholic Theological Union of Chicago. After being ordained, he earned a doctorate in canon law from Rome's Pontifical College of St. Thomas Aquinas, also known as the Angelicum, in 1987. Prevost returned to Chicago for a short time in 1987, serving as pastor for vocations and director of missions for the Augustinian province of Chicago. He was then sent to Peru, where he served the Augustinians in various capacities, including as a regional ecclesiastical judge and teacher of canon law in a diocesan seminary of Trujillo, Peru, for 10 years. After being elected the head of the Augustinian province of Chicago, Prevost returned to the U.S. in 1999. He was elected prior general of the Augustinians in 2001 and then re-elected in 2007, serving as head of the order until 2013. Pope Francis appointed Prevost as apostolic administrator of Chiclayo, Peru in 2014, and he was ordained a titular bishop of Sufar the same year. After serving the church in Peru, Francis made Prevost a member of the dicastery of the clergy in 2019 and then a member of the dicastery of bishops in 2020. In 2023, Francis made Prevost prefect of the dicastery for bishops. In that capacity, Prevost played a key role in a selection process for diocesan bishops around the world and in the investigation of allegations against bishops. In 2023, Prevost spoke to Vatican News about what he considered to be the portrait of a bishop. "We are often preoccupied with teaching doctrine, the way of living our faith, but we risk forgetting that our first task is to teach what it means to know Jesus Christ and to bear witness to our closeness to the Lord," he told Vatican News. "This comes first, to communicate the beauty of the faith, the beauty and joy of knowing Jesus," he added. "It means that we ourselves are living it and sharing this experience." Pope Francis made him a cardinal in a September 30, 2023 consistory prayer for the newly elected Pope Leo XIV. On May 8, 2025, the first American pope was elected to head the Catholic Church, taking the name Pope Leo XIV. Here is a prayer for our new pope. Lord, source of eternal life and truth, give to your shepherd a spirit of courage and right judgment, a spirit of knowledge and love. By governing with fidelity those entrusted to his care, may he, as successor to the Apostle Peter and Vicar of Christ, build your church into a sacrament of unity, love, and peace for all the world. Amen. 14 Things to Know About Pope Leo XIV, the First U.S.-Born Pope, by Francesca Palio Fenton of the Catholic News Agency. On May 8th, Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost was elected Pope Leo XIV by a college of cardinals as the 266th successor of St. Peter, making him the 267th pope and the first from the United States. Here are the 14 things to know about Pope Leo XIV. 1. Robert Francis Prevost was born on September 14, 1955 in Chicago to Louis Marius Prevost of French and Italian descent and Mildred Martinez of Spanish descent. He has two brothers, Louis Martin and John Joseph. His father was a World War II Navy veteran and school superintendent. His mother was a librarian who was very involved in parish life. The new pope speaks multiple languages, including English, Spanish, Italian, French, and Portuguese. He earned a Bachelor's of Science degree in mathematics from Villanova University in 1977 before pursuing his religious vocation. He completed his secondary studies at the Minor Seminary of the Augustinians in 1973 in Michigan. In 1977, he became a member of the Order of St. Augustine and took his solemn vows in 1981. He completed a Master of Divinity degree at Catholic Theological Union in Chicago and earned a licentiate and doctorate in canon law from the Pontifical College of St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. He went on to teach canon law in seminaries during his time in Peru. He was ordained a priest on June 19, 1982 by Archbishop Jean Jadot in Rome. He served extensively in Peru from 1985 to 1998, working as a parish pastor, seminary teacher, and diocesan official. He was also part of the leadership of Caritas Peru, the church's charitable organization. After being elected the head of the Augustinian province of Chicago, he returned to the U.S. in 1999. He was elected prior general of the Augustinians in 2001 and re-elected in 2007, serving as head of the order until 2013. Pope Francis appointed him the apostolic administrator and then bishop of the Diocese of Chiclayo, Peru in 2014 and 2015, respectively, and received episcopal consecration on December 12, 2014, at St. Mary's Cathedral in Chicago. He was made a cardinal by Pope Francis on September 30, 2023. While serving the church in Peru, Francis made him a member of the Dicastery for the Clergy in 2019 and then a member of the Dicastery of Bishops in 2020. In 2023, Francis made him prefect of the Dicastery for Bishops. His episcopal motto, which is a bishop's personal motto, is In Illo Uno Unum, which means in the one Christ we are one, reflecting his commitment to unity. Prior to becoming pope, he had an active X account, the first to have his own social media account before becoming a pope. Time to Get to Work, Pope Leo XIV and Evangelization, by Tana Kalina. Imagine for a moment you were made a bishop by Pope Francis in 2015. Now imagine you were made a cardinal just 2 years ago in 2023. Now imagine your boss, Pope Francis, just recently passed, so you're quickly ushered to the Vatican to help elect the next pope. You're thinking, there's no possible way you'll be elected. You haven't been around all that long. You're just a simple missionary priest at heart. You're also an American, for crying out loud. Now imagine your brother cardinals elect you as a successor to Peter, the 267th Pope. What? And all of a sudden, they're asking if you accept the new role, and if you do, if you'll kindly step out onto the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica and address the entire world, a world certainly clinging to every word you say. Can you imagine the whirlwind that would be? You'd only be able to say a few words heaviest on your heart, the words the Holy Spirit had firmly planted there. Such was the case for Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, now Pope Leo XIV. His first address deserves our attention. He didn't say very much, but he did say this: "We are disciples of Christ. Christ goes before us, and the world needs his light. Humanity needs him like a bridge to reach God and his love. You help us to build bridges with dialogue and encounters so you can all be one people, always in peace. And this, thank you to my cardinal brothers who chose me to be the successor of Peter and to walk together with you as a united church, searching all together for peace and justice, working together as women and men, faithful to Jesus Christ without fear, proclaiming Christ to be missionaries, faithful to the gospel. And this in particular, we have to look together how to be a missionary church, building bridges, dialogue, always open to receiving with open arms for everyone. Notice the common threads: bridges, dialogue, peace, mission. What is very clearly on our new Holy Father's heart is a missionary work of uniting people to Christ, evangelization, if we had to use just one word. In my last column, I wrote about Pope Francis's achievements in steering the church away from maintenance mode and squarely into the mission mode. Based on the tiniest snapshot we have thus far, the Holy Spirit could be propelling the church deep into mission mode. Luke 5:4 comes to mind when Jesus tells Simon, coincidentally the first pope, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." It's time for the church to put out into deep water and let down our nets. The world is as hungry as ever for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our methods of evangelization are as sharp as they have ever been in our 2,000 years as a church. The truth is as sturdy and attractive as ever. It's time to build bridges with those in our close proximity, our family members, neighbors, co-workers, fellow parishioners, etc. It's time to bring Jesus into our day-to-day dialogues. It's time to point our restless, divided society to the peace they're turning every rock over to find. It's time to be a missionary church. To echo Pope Leo XIV, you help us to build bridges with dialogue and encounter so we can all be one people always in peace. You are needed. You are a part of the missionary church. You have something the world around you needs. Will you lower your nets for a catch? Will you bring Jesus into your daily conversations? Will you give witness to the peace you have found? And will you continue chasing the source of that peace, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We are at the dawn of a new church moment. It's time to get to work. How to help new moms this Mother's Day and every day, by Alison Auth. One day, you are concerned with contractions, blood pressure, and making sure the nursery is set up. The next day, your mind is swirling with diaper counts, feeding times, and the pressure of keeping your baby alive, all while wondering if you will ever sleep again. Amid the whirlpool of thoughts and things to remember, women often feel siloed in their homes following the birth of a baby. They're concerned if they are doing it right, possibly missing their old way of life, and wondering if other moms are struggling too. For example, when I had my first, I read all the baby books, knew the size of my baby in terms of fruit, but I had no idea that I would bleed for 6 weeks after my baby was born, even after C-section. I was recovering from major unexpected surgery, unable to lift much, and yet I had to care for this new baby around the clock. Many women live far away from their families and haven't spent much time around babies, so the learning curve is extremely steep. There may be pressure to return to work shortly after. If they choose to stay home, getting used to a new way of life and making new friends isn't easy. Either way, the change can be jarring and full of unexpected difficulties. Becoming a mother is beautiful and glorious, and the church has a lot to say about the dignity of the vocation to motherhood. After all, Mary was a mother. But the calling is also full of struggles and suffering, and tension exists between the beautiful and the difficult. Mothers need to be seen in their struggles in order to find ways to lift that pressure. Here are some ideas of how family, friends, parishioners, and neighbors can help a new mom. Friends and neighbors, the number one thing you can do is bring a meal or give a gift card. Not having to think about dinner lightens the load. You can also offer to watch the baby or just spend time with the mother, with her okay, of course. For me, I needed a friendly ear to listen to me in the weeks after having a baby, just to sort out the feelings from the hormones amid all the adjustments. So allowing yourself to be available even for a phone call can be helpful. Parishioners, scoot over in the pews and give new moms, babies, and families a bit of extra room in the ends. In my case, several of my babies had projectile vomiting after nursing. None of us wants to be trapped in a pew when that is about to happen. Parents also need a quick exit for crying and diaper changes. Additionally, allow some extra space for new parents. Assume they are doing their best. Almost every mom I know has had some experience of being shushed in church or a lecture from another parishioner on their kid's behavior. It's not helpful. It's actually harmful because it discourages parents from attending Mass. Even Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." Family, offer to make meals, clean the house, or watch the kids. Also recognize the generational differences. We now have to battle the pervasiveness of screens, postpartum depression, and the fear of being reported to Child Protective Services for any mistakes or while living in an abortive culture that does not value having children. It's a struggle to find community, and every obstacle feels like an uphill battle. So please be patient with the swirling shift of hormones, offering simple help and encouragement. Husbands, be attentive to your wife's needs. Help with meals, wash dishes, clean a house. Become invested in your baby so your wife can feel free to take a nap, shower, or go out with friends. Be willing to have a discussion about expectations and household tasks. Accept the lack of physical closeness that comes with a new child. Remember, postpartum is a season, so it won't last, but the virtues you work on during this time will. And finally, to the mothers, there is no such thing as a perfect mom. We all need help. We all make mistakes and learn from them. Your best place to get advice is from friends a few years ahead of you, not that social media post. You may not be a napper, and that's fine, but I'll offer you a few closing words from my book, Baby and Beyond, Overcoming Those Post-Childbirth Woes. If I could go back and do postpartum all over again, I'd be gentler on myself. I'd announce survival mode, lower my expectations, not try to be supermom, ask for help and take naps. I'd also not fret over every decision I made, wondering if that one action has the potential to screw up my child forever, because now I know it usually doesn't. I wish there was a secret formula to follow in order to do it right the first time. Yet, deep inside, I know that the struggle, The failing and the getting back up again is exactly what God is using to mold me into the person He created me to be. God has called you to the beautiful vocation of motherhood, and what a wild adventure it is. He gives grace in every moment. All we need to do is open up to receive it and let Him transform us through the exhaustion and exasperation. We'll find there are so many precious moments to savor on the way. As we celebrate this Mother's Day, we honor all the mothers who have given themselves to the holiness and duty of family life, especially all the new moms who are figuring it out for the first time. Mother Mary, pray for us. Archdiocese launches Catholic Schools Review, focused on mission, viability, and long-term sustainability. The Archdiocese of Denver has launched an initiative to evaluate and strengthen the future of the Catholic education across Northern Colorado. In a letter to Catholic school leaders and parents, Archbishop Samuel J. Aquila announced the formation of three committees tasked with prayerfully studying the mission and viability of the Archdiocese Catholic schools. While the work is in its early stages, Archbishop Aquila emphasized that formal recommendations will not be presented or evaluated until later this fall. The committee's formation represents the beginning of a thoughtful and thorough process aimed at ensuring that all Catholic schools in the Archdiocese are spiritually, academically, financially, and operationally strong for generations to come. The effort is not just about examining data, Archbishop Aquila wrote. It is about discerning the most effective ways we can strengthen and sustain our Catholic schools. Importantly, the Archbishop underscored that this is a collaborative effort involving pastors, principals, teachers, parents, and members of the Archdiocesan Catholic School Office and Finance Council. The initiative responds to two realities: ongoing challenges faced by several schools and shifting population patterns that present both obstacles and new opportunities. In recent years, demographic shifts, declining birth rates, and financial constraints have led to difficult decisions in both public and private educational sectors. Several public school districts, including those in Denver, Jefferson, Douglas, and Mesa counties, have undergone significant restructuring. Unfortunately, Catholic schools have not been immune to these pictures. In the past 2 years, institutions such as St. Pius X Catholic Schools, Wellspring Academy of St. Bernadette, Guardian Angels Catholic School, and Bishop Matchbuff High School have closed their doors. With these realities before us, the Archdiocese is proactively studying how Catholic schools can adapt to these demographic changes through the formation of these three committees. The first committee will focus on Catholic education's foundational why, reexamining the mission and foundational charter of Catholic schools within the Archdiocese. This will include reflection on the Archdiocese's discerned mission values and anchors to deepen clarity around the identity and purpose of Catholic education in today's cultural and spiritual landscape. The second committee will study the viability of schools amid shifting population dynamics in Northern Colorado, analyzing demographic trends, population pyramid data, and evolving age distribution to understand current and projected trends. The goal is to evaluate which schools are thriving, which are struggling, and where a new school might be needed as family populations shift. The third committee will integrate findings from the first two groups into a formal report, offering recommendations to Archbishop Aquila and relevant Archdiocesan leadership bodies. This report will emphasize three core priorities: mission fidelity, accessibility for families, and excellence in all areas of Catholic education. Its purpose, the Archbishop said, is to help Catholic schools thrive spiritually, academically, financially, and operationally. As this work begins, the Archbishop asked the faithful to entrust the process to the Holy Spirit and to pray for wisdom and unity across the Archdiocese. Thank you for joining us for Catholic News. My name is Chris Mihalik.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.